wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
As I consider with you some of our problems today, we endeavor in every way to make things easier for ourselves. In our homes, we use all kinds of gadgets. In our work, modern inventions change labor into push-button controls. And even in religion, the aim is to make it easy for all. But while we are doing this, yet the very trend of the times is making things harder for us. I will discuss one of those hard things that is much harder than it was for our forefathers. It is this. It is harder to make a decision. The cry everywhere is, I find it so hard to make a decision. The businessman has seen one invention shut down an entire industry. What then shall he decide to manufacture? The young man has seen so many broken homes. Whom then shall he decide to marry? Statesmen have seen one national act throw a world into war. Parents have seen children chastened till they left home and others spoiled till they end in jail. What course shall he adopt? Yes, the whole fiber of our life today finds us in a world of perplexities, with two forces pulling opposite ways until every person, not just the judge and the president, but every person, you and me too, must admit, I find it so hard to make a decision. This is the problem of the thoughtful man and the ficklesome girl alike. Let us face this problem. I am sure that you all agree that it is an existing fact. So we shall learn why is it and what can be done about it. Reasons may be suggested as to why it is. This fast age, it doesn't give us time to think a situation through to the end. The changeable character of everything from the winds around us to the children in our homes. The fading out of age-old things, whether a national constitution or Bible reading in our schools, and the bringing in of new religions which defy God's eternal book. What strange days we are living in. But the real reason is deeper than these. Behind the scene, there are two great powers, not just national powers, but powers that move throughout the entire universe. These are adverse in everything, and they are unreconcilable. One insists on his rightful claim to everyone and everything, while the other, like a usurper, uses his subtle wisdom to seduce men to come to his side. These two invisible persons, God and Satan, strive for the souls and lives of men. But why is it harder for us than for our forefathers? That is because the great race is in its last lap, the fight is in its last round, and the strain of the conflict in these days is terrific. The very atmosphere about us is charged with a tense feeling. These are the last days, as the Bible foretold. The devil knows that his time is short. He is mustering all his force into action, and he wants to get you on his side. Never did he offer such inducements, nor make such promises, nor boast such claims. And never has the Holy Spirit so mightily used his sword, the Word of God, to convict men of their sins. Truly the battle is on, and the challenge goes forth, who is on the Lord's side. But since God has endowed man with a will, and given man the right to choose, he will not himself trespass upon that right, nor will he allow Satan to do so either. This centers the conflict around you. There the battle is the hottest, and the crucial moment is when you must decide. That's enough to make our decision so very hard to make, now isn't it? But what can we do about it? We cannot excuse ourselves, for we must decide. We cannot pass it on to others to do for us. That is not allowed. We cannot defer it. The insistent cry is for a decision now, today. We cannot avoid it. There's no detour around it. There it stands, the unanswered question, till we answer it. You for yourself, and I must for myself. Let these four factors guide us to make right decisions. First, decide to do right. Second, decide to do what God wants you to do. Third, decide to do what will do others the most good. Fourth, decide to do what will be to your own ultimate blessing. Let us now learn from some of the great Bible decisions. Towering above them all was a decision made by Jesus Christ of Nazareth. As he came into the world, he said, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. This decision involved all, from God to men, angels and demons. It was the most difficult, for it meant for our Lord to do that great work of saving lost men. It was the most self-sacrificing, for it cost him his life, his all, and it was the most beneficial to others, for from his sacrifice flows all the grace of God to man in time and in eternity. coming into the world to save sinners, our Lord Jesus decided, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." At Gethsemane, he confirmed it, crying, "Not my will, but thine be done." And at Calvary, he fulfilled it, being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then God honored him by giving him the name above every name, and with it all power in heaven and in earth. Our Lord did what was right, what God wanted him to do, what would be the greatest blessing to others, and bring the ultimate triumph to himself. May we now follow in his perfect footsteps in all our decisions. Amen. Now we will observe the great decisions of three young men. Daniel, a captive in Babylon, decided that he would not defile himself at whatever cost. He would live a sober and clean life. From that decision there came forth the man that God so honored. He was the prime minister to three great world empires, and even the den of lions could not shatter his faith in God. Daniel decided to live a clean life. Young man, young woman, have you ever made Daniel's great decision? The second young man was Joseph, and when he found himself in the devil's trap for him, an empty house, an enticing woman, and a strange land where no one knew him, that young man was really on the testing block, like many military men of our day. There and then, Joseph made his decision, crying, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" The lustful woman could beg, tear off his clothes, and grab him. But Joseph made his decision, and he stood firm. Young folks, no one can make you live an unclean life, just as she couldn't make Joseph. But all of us have found not only temptations around us, but something inside us that wants to sin. That is true, for within you there's a sinful heart that lusts after sin. It pulls the devil's way and hankers after the wickedness of the world around you. To this you must say no. Joseph not only said no to that wicked woman, but no to his own sinful desires. He decided to live clean and do right by that woman's husband and all concerned. No wonder God chose that young man to sit on a throne and disperse food to starving nations. He decided to do right to everyone. The third was three young men. When facing an enraged king and a fiery furnace, they decide to do what God wanted them to do. Hear, O hear their noble decision. We will not serve thy gods. The glittering gold of the king's image, the sight of everybody worshiping it, and the fury of the furnace did not sway them. Not even a world king could make them decide his way, and so it is with you and me. The decision is ours to make. From that decision they went to the furnace, but in it they walked with the Son of God, and not a hair of their head was burnt. What glorious victory for those who are not afraid to do what God wanted them to do. In the Bible we read of two young men who decided to repent. Isaiah was a very pious and proud young man who condemned the obvious sins of others but covered over the hidden sinfulness of himself. One day, finding himself exposed in God's holy presence, he decided to come clean with everything and repent. He confessed, "Woe is me, for I am unclean." That decision was the greatest act of his life, and so will it be with you, neighbor, when you decide to repent, to own up to God that you are only a sinner, wicked at heart, filthy in thought, and covetous in deed. What happened to Isaiah that day? His iniquity was cleansed by God. He heard the Lord's call to service, and God commissioned him as his prophet to Israel and to all men to the end of human history. Neighbor, repent, and today your whole history will change. Now come with me to a dirty hog pen. See that dilapidated, degraded young man living like an animal and soon to pay the fearful price of his sin. With riotous living, he had wasted all. His character was gone. His health ruined. He had nothing. Wait. He did have something. Something that no harlot could take. No, not even the devil could rob him of. He still had his will, his God-given right to choose. He awakens to the potential powers of that will. He rises to his feet. His face brightens, and he decided, "I will arise and go to my father." He decided to repent. Nothing could stop him, the long journey home or his weak body. His God-given will pressed on. Now look at that repentant one as he is received home, clothed, fed, and rejoicing, from the hog pen to the father's house, and it all dated back to that hour of decision when he decided to repent. Neighbor, let that be your decision right now. On bowed knees and with a broken heart, pour out your confession to God in real repentance and cast yourself upon his mercy. Amen. Now for two men who decided to believe. Look there at Job, reduced from greatness to an ash heap with repulsive boils paining him. Why was he there? It looked like God had forsaken him. His miserable comforters tormented him, and Satan, behind the scene, harasses him and sends his own wife to tell him to curse God and then kill himself. But after weighing all the adversities, Job arose from that ash heap to cry aloud his decision. Let heaven and earth re-echo it. Let men, angels, and demons hear it. Job cried, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Praise God. That same decision the martyrs made as they faced the stake and flames for Christ. The lions and Caesar could not stamp out their faith. As being faithful unto death, they cried like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Neighbor, my Lord Jesus Christ claims your faith. He does not offer you riches or ease, but calls upon you to take up your cross and follow him. Will you now make your decision? Christ for me, come what may, I will trust him. Joshua made his decision in these words, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Will you turn to Jesus Christ to trust him and to serve him as your Lord? You can decide right now. Decide to repent. Decide to believe. Two great decisions, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That double decision will put you on the Lord's side. If you reply, I find it so hard to make a decision. True, but it's getting harder every day. Don't defer it. Like Agrippa who cried, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, and then never fully decided, for every hour it got so much harder for him. You can decide. You must decide your future in life and your destiny in eternity. I beseech you to decide the way God wants you to decide. Decide now. I will repent. I will trust him, come what may. I will take up my cross and follow the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Neighbor, you have listened as God has spoken to you of your will and right to choose that he has endowed you with and will let no one rob you of it. And now, God is listening to hear your response. Get on your knees and tell him your decision is to go your own way of sin and folly no longer, but to turn to him in true repentance as you seek his mercy and forgiveness. Then call on the Lord Jesus. He too is listening for your cry of distress and your decision of faith in him. Call, Lord Jesus, I now realize I'm lost in my sins. I'm helpless and hopeless to save myself. So now I will entrust myself for time and eternity to thee to save me and make me one of thy people. I confess thee as my Lord and my Savior. And from this hour, I want to live for thee. Amen. As you thus surrender to him, he will receive you, and it will be so real to you, you can sing, I am my Lord's, and he is mine forever. The day of a new life will dawn in your heart and life with a light, a heavenly light, that shall never go out, but shine brighter and brighter unto that perfect day when he shall receive his own true people unto his heavenly home. And all will date back to that decision you made today. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.